and people will say, well, B, we looked at you when you were doing this
Yes,
thing at Microsoft, or where
that's
we saw you,
influencing.
where we saw you speaking about
That's
discrimination
influencing.
and bias in Sweden at Tech Days in, 2000 and 10. And it was from that I decided that I was either going to go into tech, or it was from that I then started thinking about, creativity and the technology and what have you.
That's the foundation of what we call influencing today, is things like that. Hello and welcome to the latest episode of Heads Talk with me, Elaine Pringle-Schwitter, the podcast where we talk to C-level executives, leaders of institutions, and heads of multinationals. What are the current topics they talk? We listen.
Can you imagine getting into a business or a market where you actually spend 100 billion plus on a piece of paper?
Are you kidding me?
It was like a frying pan to the head.
I got nothing against CFOs.
It was not just the job of a lifetime, it was the job of a thousand lifetimes.
My guest today is a widely recognized award-winning entrepreneur, thought leader, and innovative businesswoman who has earned a coveted spot on the Financial Times top UK 100 list of most influential Black leaders in technology. Renowned as a keynote speaker at the UN and various tech events, she passionately advocates for women in tech, leveraging her influence to champion financial education and inclusion. This is going to be an exciting episode on Heads Talk today, but before we get into that, here's a brief message.
FinTech Week London is a week-long celebration of London's innovative fintech scene from 10 until the 14th of June. Get your tickets now for our flagship conference on Thursday the 13th of June at the Park Plaza Victoria, London. Join us and meet over 1,000 senior decision makers from the leading fintechs, banks, investment firms, regulatory bodies, insurers, and service providers. Get your tickets now on www.fintechweek.london.
This episode is sponsored by Axia. Axia is the leading private cloud platform in the Alessian and Mattermost ecosystem, combining intelligent solutions with security and control. Axia's clients profit from digitalization and automation of critical business processes in a cloud and hybrid architecture. 150 staff provide migration, engineering, and support services to over 200 leading organizations in 32 countries.
Heads Talk podcast with your host, Elaine Pringle-Schwitter.
Bumi Duraraju, a former senior business development manager for Microsoft, worked in the AI and intelligent cloud team covering strategic engagements in developed and emerging markets across industry verticals such as agritech, automotive, space tech, and green energy. As respected ex-co-chair of the Women at Microsoft UK board, Bumi contributed significantly to building and leading a powerful team overseeing a vibrant community of over 1,000 women in the UK chapter. An advocate for digital inclusion, she founded the Global Future Observer Programme, aiming to demystify industries by encouraging the inclusion and participation of young people in events shaping their future. Bumi addresses diverse topics with her signature candor, empathy, energy, and humor. Her influence extends to global platforms, including the UN, technology conferences, and corporate events, where she covers areas such as emerging markets, AI bias, programmable human beings, the future of technology, digital inclusion, and issues affecting women in various domains. The caliber of the work she has accomplished to date is underscored by the reception of awards from reputable and esteemed organizations, including, as mentioned, the Financial Times and Microsoft. Let's have a conversation now. So without further ado, I'd like to welcome Bumi to Heads Talk. Delighted to have you here today.
I'm so happy to be here, Elaine. Thank you for inviting me.
Excellent. Okay. Following our preliminary conversation, I eagerly anticipated recording this episode and gaining insights from you on the subjects we will cover today. Without further delay, let's delve right into it, Bumi. First, if you could just provide a summary of your current role and top priorities now.
Yeah, definitely. And we say current role, as you know, I am, and I have said this happily, that I'm ex-Microsoftie at the moment and currently exploring the life, actually, of eat what you kill, running your own business, my entrepreneurial businesses that I started while being at Microsoft, but also sharing some of the insights that I've learned along the way from an advisory and consulting position. And that has been allowing me to have so many lovely freedoms in exploring some of the technologies that I wanted to do, delve in a little bit deeper while I was at Microsoft. So that's looking at aviation and tech and the aerospace industry, which is very interesting at the moment. I'm also speaking to some people and dabbling back into this whole notion of connectivity in areas that are difficult to connect, and looking at the technology around that, and looking at some continued programs, which actually has surprised me since I've been out of Microsoft, how there was these continued programs of need for people to be digitally connected. And so I'm looking at that type of stuff as well. And also, in terms of where my heart is, I'm looking at and speaking to a number of VCs and accelerators. People are looking after startups and small and medium-sized businesses, and really being able to sort of imbue some of my experience in helping some of these high potential startups like move to the next step. That's anything from how are you pitching yourselves to foreign companies, to looking at their business models, to giving them some guidance when it comes to some AI technologies. So I'm just having a great time and just using all of my years of experience out here in the wide world.
So I've read that you're consulting with venture capitalists in that space as well. So you pretty much got your fingers in a lot of pies, which is, it's good for you. The entrepreneurial world. So excited to see what's going to come out of all of that for you, Bumi. 2023 and even 2022 must have been a packed year of events for you, and I want you to give my listeners a taste of some of the events you took part in, your role, and your takeaways.
Yes, definitely. And 2022, I was looking at that, right? And that was a time of coming out of the pandemic, and I'm sure you've had those types of conversations a lot already. And at that time, that we were very busy in Microsoft, in addition to the stuff that I've done, and you mentioned being a co-chair of the women's ERG group there. And some of the events and some of the energy that we were really pushing was enabling people to almost repair, recover, reflect, and come out of themselves as well. Come out physically, definitely, but also like mentally and psychologically, and actually even from a financial perspective, which we are going to be dipping into all along. With our time together. And that kind of culminated in this notion of like rebuilding the community, whoever and whatever those communities could be. So those events definitely around 2022 were about, right, let's have some time together. I think I launched a meet to flourish moment at Microsoft, where I just said, look, let's come in, get some of our leaders and some of our early in careers together to do a little bit of a sharing and a bit of an encouragement. There was a lot of asking people, how are you feeling right now? And there was this moment of people needing to find their voice again and find their moment. So there were some workshops that I'd been involved with panels that I'd been involved with, but which was less about me, but more providing a platform for people to actually start speaking up. We did a speak up series, like speak up, find your voice, what is on your mind at the moment. Some of them were quite emotive. They were to the point where some things were recorded, some things weren't. Some of them related to physical safety, and not feeling safe or feeling safe. Some of them did relate to, where am I in my career? I'm early in careers. Where do I go to now?
Wait,
and
were
some
you?
Of them, yeah, sorry.
Sorry, Bimi, sorry to interrupt. Were you surprised with what some of the feedback you were getting when people were opening up and telling you what were their concerns?
I think I was not so much surprised, but I was concerned at the lack of space that people felt they had to share, if that makes sense. The fact that there was a lot of internalizing, of stress, of being unsure. Again, in terms of growth, let's talk about like their professional growth, financial growth, and what have you, that it seemed, despite, and we'll talk about this, you know, there being platforms and social media and what you're doing and what we're talking about now in terms of, you know, financial management or the rest of it, I was worried that people were not tapping into and finding the channels and the resources they needed for themselves.
So anyway, that was kind of sort of 2022. There was a sense of rebuilding, sort of re-energizing, recovering, as you say, and finding your voice and not having the space, the option or the opportunity in order to do these sort of things. What was 2023? How did that differ? What happened in that space in terms of...
2023 was this crazy year we just came out of, like, absolutely nuts. Because 2023, let me go back. You sort of talked about events. We talked about that we had the recent one with Avenade.
That was the most recent one.
Yeah. Now, the beginning of the year, again, I'm still in this technology bubble. And this was when there was a lot of the financial panic, okay? A lot of the cost of living situations.
Yeah.
And that was, again, very interesting, because you were then being asked, and we really will touch upon this, I can't wait to almost go back to basics, right? From a financial perspective, like, this is what your money pot was then in 2022. This is it now, and you've still got to survive, because either you're not getting your pay rises, you might have been made redundant.
It's not touching the size like it sort of did in 2022, kind of thing.
Exactly. So the energy was either, there was either some people panicking, some people like, yeah, okay, cool, this is an opportunity. Okay. But for me, for me, I was just like, okay, there's a really interesting back to basic notion that some of us have got to start talking about. And that was within also this AI moment, right? And I call it this AI moment because I've had AI moments for years. And at first I was like rolling my eyes. I'm like, come on, dudes.
Yes.
We knew what was going to go on.
Yeah.
But then I calmed myself down, as I do, and just did like, Bimi, don't be arrogant. See why this is an issue for everybody. And obviously it was this whole generative AI piece. And it was it's a sliver of the entire AI story.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that became a thing, as you know. And that from a psychological and, again, a community perspective, you either had people who were grabbing it and going and banging this thing out, and it was looking great and telling you about what's going to happen next. And you had people who were just like, no way, this is too much. This is a hot mess. Mm-hmm. And I very much like to look at both all ends of the spectrum of these conversations and then sort of see where I can help. So 2023 for me was very much like, and we saw that with the work that we did with Avenard, help to be a approachable and friendly but knowledgeable space and voice to help, again, demystify some things about what you're hearing in terms of AI. And I also had gone to an investment bank talk. It was around Black History Month. And Elaine, one thing that what jumped out at me when I thought, oh, B, you've got to start doing some work here, was a beautiful girl came to talk to me, and she wanted me to look at some education project she was doing. And she said, Auntie, can you help me? Can you tell me and tell me the difference between AI and tech? Now, if anybody knows, it's all the same. There isn't a difference. The very basis of that question was panicked me somewhat, because I just thought, not only do we need to sometimes go back to basics, we need to accelerate some of the understanding in order for these same people to be able to take advantage and benefit from what's happening out there. And that was just like a moment, like, okay, we need to start. I need to be and stop rolling my eyes just because I know about it. I need to be.
I think that's interesting, because when you started this piece, this conversation, when you talked about AI, and that when AI came out, this was a big boom of AI, the rolling of the eyes. I understand that, because if anybody's been in tech business, anyone's been in, even in management consulting business, you've worked with language models for God knows how long. You know about predictive AI. It's nothing new. And then all of a sudden, everyone's now an expert in AI, and everyone's jumping on the bandwagon. But it's generative AI, which is completely different to predictive AI. And what you said about that girl who asked you, is AI tech? When you said that, that made me think, there's a lot of people that it's excluded on this. There's a lot of people that really don't know what this is all about, how it affects me, why am I excluded, why don't I know about this, how do, that's what was going in my head. So I'm not going to talk anymore. I'm just going to let you get on with it. Carry on.
No, and it was exactly that. And okay, I'm very much like, let's take accountability wherever we can. So is it excluded, or is it all right, is it, how has this exclusion happened? All right. Is it excluded because honestly, you've thought about this thing, you've heard it, and you're like, not my wheelhouse, not my thing, I'm scared, I'm not having this? Is it excluded because you really haven't been given the tools, and you've wanted the tools, or you've wanted to hear from someone, and you've been stopped to do that, right? So we really need to be honest about that. And I actually mentioned that during that talk, just to say, you know what, decide how you are going to operate here. And but then the reality, Elaine, is what you've exactly said is the gap. And that the gap, right? We've got every gap in the world, right? From our pay gap to our pension gap to our gender gap. And we've got this digital inclusion and understanding gap. And we talk about the rate of technology development versus the rate of understanding across a broader populations as we can. And those rates are like the hare and the tortoise.
And
Okay.
it's not even just inclusion in that. It's also by the lack of inclusion. There's a lot of people that could be contributing heavily in this that are not, and
Yes.
that is the concern there. But we're going to talk some more about this. We're going to continue talking some more about this. But I want us to move on into an area where you have a lot of passion, and you are actively doing things rather than just talking about it. And that's what I like about you, and that's why I sort of wanted to talk to you. That is influencing and empowering. So, for instance, what exactly are we talking about when we hear the phrase future of finance? You hear it all the time, the future of finance. And how are you, Bumi, using your influence to ensure, in particular, women of color, diaspora women, have a seat at the table in this space, in these conversations? Are you having direct dialogues with diaspora women, and particularly in the West, addressing, I don't know, achieving strategic or financial freedom, or exploring the themes resonating with women of color? If you can expand on that.
Yeah, sure. And it just so relevant in terms of again, where we are, right? We talked about people's what's happening in the financial space with people. And I personally, so you asked sort of what I personally do. And yes, as I have become a veteran, when I say a veteran, only in age, so not necessarily that I've been doing it, but a veteran when it comes to being an influencer. And so you sort of influence because you've been around a while and have taken on various stages, like we talked about the
I
keynotes
think you're
and
doing it before that name became sort of solidified. You were actually influencing well before that, but now there's other terminology to it. When you say you're an influencer, it sounds like you're sort of a sort of a seasoned person trying to jump on the bandwagon of the sort of the young new role. But you were doing it well before all of that. It just didn't have the name influencing.
I love it. You've got it. Yay. Can you write that down and put that, tattoo that on my forehead? Because that's kind of where it's come from, as in later on down, or I can ask people and people will say, well, B, we looked at you when you were doing this thing at Microsoft, or where
That's
we saw you,
influencing.
where we saw you speaking about
That's
discrimination
influencing.
and bias in Sweden at Tech Days in, 2000 and 10. And it was from that I decided that I was either going to go into tech, or it was from that I then started thinking about, creativity and the technology and what have you.
That's the foundation of what we call influencing today, is things like that.
Yes. And so when you say sort of what am I doing, it's continuing to understand that if I have a platform, and agreeing to take platforms, because I don't always like to do that, and to use a platform. So yeah, so be it social media, be it going and doing workshops and stuff, which I'm doing a number of them now, and then using those workshops again, not just necessarily to speak, not necessarily just to say, all right, let's talk about personal branding, let's talk about how you are, like I said, presenting yourself, let's talk about your speaking capabilities, how you're pushing yourself. I do all of that, but the fact that it's me doing it in my style, that's the influencing bit. Yeah. Then the piece around the topics, so important. So this idea of future of finance, I thought about it a lot. I agreed to do a podcast, and I go and see what people are saying, and it's all very, interesting how, you get the stats about the gap of pension gaps, you get the stats about us women and having the children, and the stats about, what are the three most important things for 20 something at the moment, how to invest, how to start a business, and how to ask for a pay rise, right? Those kind of things. And then I tend to then just want to look past that, Elaine, because to be honest with you, we have been saying that for a long time. We've been saying a lot of those things for a long time. And anybody who's heard me talk will say, Bumi always says that in every talk she says, every talk she does. And it's true. And that's the, I suppose, the USP of some of the things I want to push in terms of thought leadership. So when we talk about this notion of future of finance, I literally think that we are currently at a moment where that back to basic notion, what I touched upon early on, now has to come back to the fore. Now, when I say back to basics, let's go back to some of the things that I've sort of done in the past. So through the connectivity work, I did a lot of work in the emerging markets. And in those emerging markets, it was very much about how do you empower the small micro businesses, the mom and businesses, to get the next money for the next week. So Elaine, I'm not going to talk to them about pensions, right? I'm not
It's
necessarily going
not
to
the
be
money for the
talking.
next week, is it?
Right. I'm going to be saying, right, where are you going to get a body of capital, microfinance, to go and buy X product, to go to the market to sell it for Y, to then have that
That's the back to
markup to go
basics you're talking about.
to basics. Elaine, when we now think about where we are now, where people's income has been reduced, when it's just been taken up, taken stuff taken off, we've got to go back to this basic situation again. And I do believe that there's a level of futuristic versions of that. I've done it myself. I was like, oh, I've come out from a corporate job. I had X coming in. I now have Y coming in. With that Y, how am I moving it around? A bunch of sort of like micro financing type thinking going
isn't
on.
Isn't it sort of re-educating people on accounting for themselves based on new circumstances? And that's, I assume that's what you're talking about, and that's what you're doing.
Yes, yes. I think re-educating yourselves, but also giving people, empowering people to be agile and have a little bit of swagger around it. I've been worried about the cortisone levels, levels.
Yeah.
Right, that we've all been under because of just the difficulty. Whereas I think I tell you the emerging market story because I kind of want people to know that it's always been within us, right? Women, it's always been within us in terms of the budgeting, in terms of what's going in, how are we going to make sure the food's on the table and have that. It's always been with us. We can be sophisticated about that. And what I want to do now is remind people of it.
Yeah.
And once you remind people of it, you actually realize then you're in a powerful situation because actually you do have some technology apps that can help you.
Yeah.
You do have some generative AI that can help you. You do have all of these things that can help you.
Yeah.
But if you and let me be specific, because I was looking at what I used to do very many years ago, and I don't know if you remember Padna and Esusu. We in Nigeria used to call it Esusu or Padna.
Oh yes, Padna money. Yes, I remember that. Yes, I think a lot of it started in sort of church environments, didn't it?
Yes. Do you remember?
I do remember that very well.
And that was very much this notion of like, okay, I've got X amount of money, you would take it to a lady. You'd literally take the money to and she would be like the most trustworthy financial person, right? Like,
she was the banker, really.
She was the banker, right?
Yeah.
She would then, there'd be 10 of you, you'd all take the money to her. That 10 pieces of the silver would then go to one person for the week, right?
Yes.
The next week, you'd take it, and then it would go around until all 10 of you had that money. No digital platforms, nothing. That was happened. That was this level of, I think, financial hand-holding and actually moving your money around, keeping a little bit of it, that squirreling nature that our parents did before there was all of this bunch of disposable income and what have you,
which
they then use as their capital to go and do bigger things.
And I just think you talk about women in the sort of the emerging markets now and how we're sort of diaspora women almost sort of forgotten how those women handled and managed money quite well. They may not have had a lot of money, but they managed it quite well. I want to know, how has the technology today, the fintech, all tech, has really, how has it transformed financial independence even more so for women in emerging countries, that you can actually tell the story of the women in the West that are struggling with their money to say, look, these are inspirational stories. This is something you can do for yourselves. I mean, could you sort of elaborate on that?
Yeah, sure. And again, not to say, you know, I talked about the mom and pop stores in the emerging markets. There's also the most phenomenal, very well off business women out there in the emerging markets too, who are doing all of the stuff in terms of large money investments, capital, and what have you. I do want to punctuate that for sure.
Yes.
But I think that there is this notion of where Yeah, so sort of like it's a mindset thing as well. So I'm trying to think of a an example, and I think one of them was sort of just this building of this. I'll tell you actually one, and then it goes to one of the questions about sort of who my finance influences are.
Oh, you
My
shouldn't
great
even
great.
go into that. You're jumping into that just too early. But I think I had something in my head then, and it sort of just
Oh
jumped
God, sorry, sorry,
out.
sorry, Jane.
No worries, no worries. But I think what's happening, when I think I spoke to a previous guest, this is probably in 2022. I think when he talked about I think agri-tech, I think that's your area.
Yes.
Where a lot of the women that were working there were setting up franchise businesses on the back of some of these organizations and making a lot of money and financially managing their money and actually opening up schools and educating girls around money. And I just think that sort of thing is great. And things come back into my head. I think maybe I'm wrong, but in sort of on a political scale, I think we're a little bit mollycoddled in the West. We're a little bit socially managed, or there's a sort of a government arch socially managing us. Whereas in other countries, they don't necessarily have that umbrella, so you have to stand on your own 2 feet, and therefore takes various risks, and therefore think independently. I don't know. These are just some ideas on the top of my head. What do you say?
Yeah, and I think that comes from, again, these markets, which is, and the technology's influence in that being cash, right? So they're still very heavily cash money. And so there's the, although the digital transactions are now coming through the phones and what have you, and you've got a number of these, lots of these sort of financial companies on the phones that are trying to have banking, telephone banking and all the rest of it. But then that then relates to connectivity, that then you need data on all of that stuff. So there's the cash, there's that cash piece as well. I think the exchange between what goes on in emerging markets and in the Western markets is helping some of the growth as well. So if let's talk about the shea butter from Ghana. Yeah. So I think this is probably a version of what your previous person spoke about. You have these ladies who actually now have entire villages and farms that are creating shea butter, and they are selling it to us who are now doing like shea butter mixes and blends and goodness knows what over in the diaspora. But the bottom line is they're on that farm. They are on that farm. They are working that land. And if they're not working the land, then they're getting the rest of the community to work that land. And it's this that this whole notion again around how is your community feeding and dealing with itself. And then I think then technology has enabled the commercial benefits and exchange to go broader than just the next village along. Do you know what I mean? Than just the next month along, which is obvious. But I think there's another piece to it too, which is I was listening to this on some Afrobeats music thing that I was listening to. The realization, and it's almost coming back round, that we have huge numbers in the emerging markets. So if you're smart in even like say from a Pan-African perspective, and getting your goods out even internally, you can also make a living and what have you. So it's a case of what's right there on your doorstep, what can you utilize externally, and then hustling it, right? And it's
A lot of them are using, organizations, big tech like Amazon, selling their stuff through that and
no,
making money with
absolutely. But you know that, I think that before the Amazon really like dug in, there was Jumia, which was funny enough, it's actually a Portuguese company, but it's been massive on the continent.
them.
And that sold that bought and that was the Amazon of the African continent for many, many years. So yeah, I mean I don't know if I've answered that question right, but I think it's the mindset piece, which is
You
not
can't really do
putting.
anything unless you change that, really, isn't it?
Yeah, and my worry is I'm trying to knit the thing together as to the lack of movement to some of these gaps we talked about, is because I feel like some of the communities at some point have having to wait for bigger commercial industries, bigger institutions to be okay to transact with them, right? Having to wait for investors to decide they're going to invest in a female-led company. And
What
then what do we
percentage
do? We just
is
got a
that?
bunch of female investors to invest in female company.
Yeah,
Like
well, that's
the
good.
waiting, yeah, the waiting is creating the gap. And the learning from the emerging markets is like a woman is not going to wait to feed her children before she closes her gap.
Yeah, like no, that's good. I just want to let the listeners know in terms of how and why you're here today in terms of having the conversation on Heads Talk. It was that image that you shared on LinkedIn when there's a picture of you. I think it was after a meeting or after an event. Do you want to expand on that? Tell my listeners what that event was, because when I saw that, I said I have to have Boomy on Heads Talk and have a conversation with her. Tell my listeners about
Yeah, that was funny. I think that picture went viral. My big
that.
face there.
Yes, it did.
Which is quite
It was a fantastic
hilarious.
picture, and almost, if you're willing, I'd be happy in your audiogram when we do release your audiogram to sort of stick that at the end of it so people know exactly what we're talking about.
Let's do that. Let's do that. Because it was right. It was just a bunch of smiling women, smiling, but predominantly black women, at the Avenard offices, and we had just had this amazing talk. I was on the panel. The CEO of Avenard, a black woman, was on the panel too. Pamela, I don't know why I go, always go
Maynard or
Pamela
something,
too much.
but carry on.
Maynard, that was it. Pamela Maynard was on there. We had a beautiful data scientist teacher on there as well, myself. And it was moderated by GTA, and it was their company, which was an advocacy for Black women in tech group too. And the reason why it was that was an interesting story, because I was approached to do that. They had been looking for me for months because they'd seen me do some tech to camera work for Microsoft. And they were just like, okay, we just want me to come here. And they couldn't find me because I'd left. I'm like, how can you not find me?
You're all over the place, that's why.
Exactly. So they couldn't find me. And they were just like, oh, we would really like you to talk and help us through this AI conversation from a diversity perspective, from a Black women's perspective. I'm just like, yeah, all day long, no problem, for the reasons I mentioned earlier on. So we had this conversation. And I think the reason why that picture was so buzzing was in that room, Elaine, when we like we said, put your hands up, who knows about, what we're talking about here, AI, half the room's hands went up. Then we're like, who's actually physically getting involved in creating it? Hands went up, Elaine. There were women there who were creating their own AI technologies and apps and what have you. It was crazy exciting. Then I asked a question, which then had everybody in stitches. I was like, well, who's using this stuff on a day-to-day level? And then I think I've painted pictures of, I just painted scenarios of like when they've got to write a letter complaining their kid has done something at school, like the one that you don't ever want to write. And I'm like, get the machines to do it, And when we talked about that. So we had talked about being freer and more agile and being more courageous in this area that seemed a bit fearful. There was also something that people said afterwards to say that having the conversation in our safe space community had a whole different vibe to it. And I think when you and I spoke, I just thought, yeah, we do need to start to do that, right? We do need to make sure there is this safe space, people you can relate to, environment where we are going to talk about how you're dealing with your money. And it's not always going to be you know, the big names or the big person or the big people that is going to resonate with a sort of 25-year-old or 30-year-old who is struggling to say, how am I honestly going to live? How am I honestly going to say I'm going to stop and have some children and still afford it? It's going to come from you. It's going to come from me, Elaine.
Yes,
Yeah, so that was that vibe that you saw, and that I think that came out in the picture.
that's excellent. And you know, and listeners, I will, with permission from Bumi, put that picture in the audiogram that you can see on LinkedIn and share it so you know exactly what we're talking about. It's just a fantastic picture. Bumi at the center of it, holding the iPhone, doing a selfie with looks like hundreds of women behind her and just massive smiles. It was just a fantastic photo. So well done to you for that. So from influencing Bumi to being influenced, I'd be keen to know who you, Bumi, look up to in the world of finance. So please highlight up to two individuals who significantly influence you in the field of fintech banking, and provide reasons for their impact on your perspective.
Yeah, and I suppose for the first one, I suppose I have to almost take the tech out of it and just talk about the fin piece
Yes.
too.
Yes,
But
please.
those tech elements, and I was about to jump into it, but you held me back. Well done, girl. Not many people get that.
And normally, well, yes, I wanted to hold you back there because I know that I wanted to hear that in isolation from the other stuff.
Of course, of course. So the first person, and I know I've spoken about this person, and yeah, is I'm calling her my great grandma. So let me punctuate this in that I'm born and bred in the UK. I'm in and out. I've been in and out of Nigeria a lot. I'm originally Nigerian. I'm from that family that always say they're going back. So I've been back loads of times and what have you. And you hear stories about your family, and sort of when I went in there, you just get this sense of belonging in the air. If you're, especially if you're the Yoruba tribe, as soon as you land, you're like, this explains me as soon as you land. And so when we hear stories, it's the way stories are told, like you hear it from your mother, your grandfather, or your auntie, and what have you. And I was always told this story, and it just stays with me every day, of I think it was my great grandma, and she went by the name of Yalawu, and Yalawu is one of my first finance mentors in retrospect, or however the technical name is. Yalawu means like mother of plates, or if you were going to go to the market, you'd say, Lossi Yalawu, I'm going to the lady that sells plates. And back in the day, and this will resonate, back in the day, she used to sell plates in the market and was incredibly successful in selling this in the market. Her success was such that she always had money, or she always had a flow of cash, right? So I hope people can start knitting all the things we've been talking about together. She always had some disposable money. So therefore, Elaine, when people needed money, they would go to her. She would lend people money, and they would return the money plus a little bit extra, as you do. And so
Oh, the original banker.
she was the original market banker, my great grandma. She was an angel investor, which I have got on my list to do. Or she was a VC, right, in the market. And so when people were then starting to go to Yalawu, it wasn't even to buy plates. It then became how to get their capital to go and do what they needed to do, to come back, to sort stuff out. My grandma was like the original angel investor and market
Goodness
and
me,
banker.
that's fantastic. You must email me the her name in full so I can actually put her in some description
I
episode.
will. I will. Again, it's a Nigerian term, so it's just like if you sold plates today, I'd call you Yalawu.
All right. Okay. And number two.
Number two,
Yes.
Oh my God. I was just like, who's my number two? And then I thought, oh, my original hype girl, Jen Sincero. Have you heard of her? You probably have.
No.
No? Okay. So Jen and Sincero, Sincero. I will send it to you. She's like a quite an interesting American writer. And she has a book series called The Badass. Book series. We have very little in common, I do not think, right? She's like this American woman. She's done a bunch of series of books. Her main book that went off the shelves is called You're a Badass Money Maker, or You're Badass at Making Money. And I was just like, oh, come on, I'm not going to read this. So, of course, but as a student of monies, right, we've read them all, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, how do you make, the whole crew. I'm like, all right, I'm going to read this. But I'm like, this alone, the title alone is red flagging me. I can tell you that book, the reason why sometimes I can't find it is because I've read it so much the actual covers have fallen off.
Really?
And the reason why I've read it, and it's a stylistic thing, and it's going back to this notion of there are money mindset basics that we all have to embrace. And it's how you have been able to tell that story and encourage and empower people to go down their financial management route and what the styling is. Her styling for me resonated. She's hilarious. She's quite irreverent. She's totally out there telling her own personal story, and her story that literally started from her living in the back of a garage with no money, with like $40, to now being a multi, award-winning a writer.
Why
But
does
then
it
she,
sound familiar now? Actually, now that I said it to me, it sounded familiar. Carry on.
And the reason why for me, why she's an influence, why she influences me is like, number one, it's like having your hype girl best friend who just go, come on, you can do it, so what, right? And I am your original hype girl, so our styles work there. Now by the time you leave me, you'll be okay to go and do the thing that was scaring you in the morning. Okay, she was the hype girl, but I liked the way that she broke down some of the financial fundamentals, right? You do need advisors. You will need to take risks. You may need to take a loan to get to the next stage. You do need to start thinking about your short and medium term situations. You do need to pay yourself a little bit each month. Those basic things, the way that she wrapped that up in that book, I just loved, and it was that. So there, those between those women, hype girls, market trading, banking people, no
Original
technical
VC,
whatsoever.
the original venture capitalist, original angel investor. Excellent. I think I like the fact that your two influences are women and women in finance, which is fantastic. And women in finance has been before yourself. Let's
But
end
can
it.
I ask Elaine, just to say, but women in finance, who are empowering and encouraging other women
Yes,
and
yes,
people,
yes,
right?
yes,
That's very, very important. That's what I stand for. If I'm
Yes, I'm
broke,
about to say
I
that's
don't
what
want you to
you
be
are
broke.
doing now, and those that you've encouraged, they will be doing it now. It's a positive kind of pyramid scheme sort of thing, isn't it? Okay. Let's end this episode of Heads Talk with a classic question, and I never know what the guests going to say when I ask it. So intrigued. This is addressing the priority debate between, because we've talked about it quite a bit, between STEM education and financial literacy, specifically focusing on the needs of women and girls. Justify your stance and elaborate on why you believe one area should take precedence over the other.
Yes, financial literacy all day long. I suppose that was a very obvious answer from me. Because I believe if you can reap the rewards of some of your financial understanding based upon your life stage. So it's kind of interesting that you said women and girls. Very different set of financial rules that that apply along your life stages. If you can get that, then to be honest with you, I think you can not necessarily buy in, but you can position yourself if you need to get into the STEM scenarios, right? And so I don't know if you've got to go to school because you've got to go and get your master's and what have you, but if you're not feeling empowered, or you haven't got this this ability to earn money, or you don't understand what that means, then you can stem all day long. So that's one thing. But the other business, the piece about this financial education and empowerment, and I don't know, I've got to find a word that makes it sort of less stuffy sounding, right? Because I'm gonna say the freedom, empowerment, security, getting independence, knowing all of that stuff. But I also just want to open the narrative of just having a charmed and a smoother life.
Yeah.
And it doesn't always mean that you've got to have millions, right? It just needs to be that you have and you have a level of confidence around what you have. And in order to get to that space, you've got to get some of your information, right? Hence the education. The other piece is that the narrative about when you say financial education, I want us to think about some of the things I've waffled about. The education doesn't necessarily have to be from Jen's book or the app or a podcast. The education could have come from your grandma. The education could be something that you're learning from a multi-generational perspective. Yeah. The education could come out from some of the bad stuff that's happened and some good stuff that's happened. And so I want to kind of like broaden this notion of where you're picking up your financial indicators from. And then being, like I said, being very, very specific about where you're standing and what your energy is in each stage. So that again, I would definitely advocate for financial education as early as possible. I've got an 11-year-old at the moment, and I have used tech, and she has got her bank account, and she can see it, and she does her little financial courses so she can get extra money. It's all my money that's going into her bank account, right? But I'm using that for her to get an idea of what's happening. She does a little DJing on the side. She's 10 years old. Elaine, now she's telling me, she's like, Mum, I know you told Auntie that I was going to play at her party, but I'm not doing it for free next time, okay?
Good for her. I like her.
You like her. And that's the 11-year-old. That's a level of education. I mean, that's obvious, but definitely we need to learn to get some swagger. I wrote also a line saying financial agility is where we need to be now, right? We're no longer in this space of your one pot of money is here. Your one pot of money is going to be X or Y. And then I will share, like, I think one of my biggest mistakes, but I've managed to sort of pick it up, was early in my life, I could not get my head around a little bit of money, a little bit of small returns, Elaine. Yeah, I couldn't get my head around small returns on an investment, or, you know, like, why am I going to buy a packet of crisps for 20p and sell it for 22p and earn 2p? Didn't make any sense to me. Obviously, many years later, I'm like, I should have done those small return things.
Well, you know, don't beat yourself up about it.
Really. I will, yeah.
You're a little bit wiser with age, to a point that people start calling us seasoned, so or veterans, as you said earlier. So don't worry about that too much, not at all. But it's nice to know that your 10-year-old Based on mistakes that we've made, your 10-year-old will not be making those mistakes. In fact, that she's got this whole thing sorted. She's not doing anything to me. She knows her value. She's managing her money, and that is down to you. So there you go. Bhumi Durawodju, an absolute pleasure. Many thanks for your time and insights.
Thank you so much. It's absolutely been great. I could talk for more hours, but let's not do that.
Thanks for joining me today on this episode of Heads Talk. Don't forget to subscribe to the show via my website, elainepringle.com/Heads Talk, or wherever you get your podcasts. Finally, I'd like to thank our sponsors, guests, and you for helping to make the show possible. Please join me next time where I'll be featuring more executives, C-suite leaders, and heads of multinationals.
Heads Talk podcast with your host, Elaine Pringle-Schwitter.